A study by the University of South Africa has revealed that sexual harassment in the workplace is increasing, with over 51,000 sexual offences committed annually. In an attempt to combat these increasing numbers, the Minister of Employment and Labour earlier this year published a code of good practice, on the prevention of elimination of harassment in the workplace. Now, to talk to us more about this, we're joined on the line by Tsepiso Rasetlola, Associate in Employment Law at law firm Cliff Dekker Hofmeyr. Good morning. Thank you for joining us, Tsepiso.
Good morning, Aurelie. Thank you very much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Over 51,000 sexual offences committed annually in the workplace. What do you make of these alarming statistics?
So, it's a very high number, considering that as opposed to other countries, South Africa is very advanced in terms of its labour and employment law. It's clearly an indication that employers are not doing as they're supposed to be doing, meaning they're not implementing the policies and procedures that they're required to put in place in order to eliminate sexual harassment in the workplace. So there's a lot of work that needs to be done by the employer to ensure that we decrease these numbers to a significantly low amount.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about these policies that should be in place. One is this harassment code. Can you tell us a bit more about this policy and the procedures which employers should be following?
So the good thing about this code is that it has extended a number of definitions. So the code aims to eliminate all forms of harassment in the workplace by providing guidance on the policies and procedures to be implemented if and when harassment occurs. So the code recognizes various forms of harassment that may amount to unfair discrimination and goes beyond only the recognition of sexual harassment. So as opposed to the 2005 Code of Good Practice, it had limited the definition of what constitutes sexual harassment, what constitutes harassment in the broader sense. So this new code has included harassment based on race, gender, sex, and sexual orientation. It has expanded that definition. Mm-hmm. So the scope and ambit of the code is quite broad as a consequence of that. And it's important for employers to understand the nature and application of the code in the workplace in order to mitigate the risk of being found vicariously liable in terms of Section 60. So earlier on, you spoke about over 50% of employees being harassed, sexually harassed in the workplace. Mm-hmm. Now, if as an employer, or really you fail to take reasonable steps to eliminate this, you face the risk of being vicariously being held liable financially and for compensation to be paid by you as an employer for your failure to do so. So the code is also an extension of an employer's obligations to ensure, insofar as reasonably practically possible, that a safe working environment, which includes an environment free from all sexual harassment, including violence and psychological harm, is achieved. So the purpose of this code is just to guide employers on what steps they need to do to eradicate harassment in the workplace.
I want to talk a bit about the responsibility of the employer in addressing sexual harassment and other forms of gender-based violence in the workplace. Are there any potential repercussions for an employer if an employee is found guilty?
Yes, there are. So one thing about the Murphy's Law is that it's not a one-size-fits-all. Mm. So as an employer, you have to ensure that you conduct the necessary training and the necessary information for your employees. So if I come to Peter and I say I'm being sexually harassed by Peter as an example in the workplace, you as an employer have an obligation, whether you believe my story or not, you have an obligation to conduct an investigation into these allegations that are presented to you. And subsequent to those investigations, you then have an obligation to then conduct a hearing, whether be formal or informal, calling Peter to say, look, Sabisa's reported this, or Sabisa's brought this to our attention. Mm-hmm. What is your response to it? And you, as an employer, you have to be impartial. It's very, and what I've noticed with some of the disciplinary hearings that I've conducted in sexual harassment matters is that one is quick to assume that because Peter is a certain person, there's no way that Peter has mm-hmm. done it. So as an employer, you have to try by all means to be impartial when dealing with such instances. So you have to make sure that you conduct an investigation, you conduct a disciplinary hearing, and if at the end Peter is found guilty of sexual harassment, then there it's not automatic that you have to dismiss Peter. Mm-hmm. There are a range of appropriate sanctions that should be applied by the employer, and these sanctions should be in proportionate to the sexual harassment or the seriousness of the harassment committed by Peter. So in some instances, employers would be able to say, because Sipiso works in Johannesburg office, we can move Peter from Johannesburg office to a Durban office. Mm-hmm. So Sipiso and Peter don't have to interact with one another. But sometimes these cases are so severe that you do not want to keep Peter in the workplace, because it then creates a perception that as an employer you're condoning this kind of behavior. So it depends on the seriousness of the harassment as to what consequence do you then impose on Peter arising from this harassment. Do you fire Peter or dismiss Peter, for lack of a better word, or do you move Peter to another office because of the magnitude of the sexual harassment?
Mm-hmm. And, you know, right now we're busy, you know, we're in the middle of the international campaign, 16 Days of Activism Against Gender-Based Violence. In your view, is this campaign effective, especially when it comes to issues of workplace harassment? And are companies also, you know, marking this campaign within their respective workplaces?
So I think from my view, and the numbers that we are seeing, the numbers are not going down. Mm-hmm. And it should be a concern, because 16 days of activism, you'll note that in the news now, there's an increase of people getting murdered, women getting killed, women getting abused and the like. So as a country, we need to change how we view 16 days of activism. And I think most of us oppose 16 days of activism as just that period during December that we need to bring awareness about mm-hmm. abuse, about harassment and the like. But it should be a day-to-day thing that we do and implement and embody in our policies and procedures. And employers, predominantly because that's where you're able to try and reshape the society, because we spend most of our time at work. Mm-hmm. And if an employer becomes engaged in dealing with this issue, we're definitely going to see the numbers going down. But because we're not seeing the numbers going down, it clearly shows that there's so much work that still needs to be done. There's so much training and awareness that still needs to be done from an employer point of view and from a societal point of view.
Sipiso, thank you very much for your time this morning.
Thank you very much for having me.
That's Sipiso Rasetlola, Associate in Employment at Cliff Decker Hofmeyr Law Firm, talking sexual harassment in the workplace. You're listening to Rise and Shine.